Fine. Parshas Boy. You know, as a child, I always loved, one of my favorite Yom Tovim was Sukkos, and, you know, as it builds up towards Simchas Torah, it gets more and more exciting. And my Simchas Torah was always gavaldig, you know, there's always some unwritten halacha. You can first get shikah, and you always had the men misbehaving, and the kids enjoying themselves, and it was always a highlight. Simchas Torah was a highlight. Lamaisa, you know, I was learning a Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, and as a child I thought that we could have actually cut off 3.5 months off the year, and every 9.5 months had Simchas Torah, and I was delighted. Where's this Rashi? Anyone know? The first Rashi. Rashi says the Torah should have began with a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Torah should have began with the mitzvah of this week's parasha, the first mitzvah Klal Yisrael have before leaving Mitzrayim, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The mitzvah of making a Rosh Chodesh, of being Koveya the year according to Rosh Chodesh. Says Rashi, the Chumash should have began with a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. So why did it start off with Bereishis? In order that the Goyim, who come along with Tainas and say to us, what right do you have at Eretz Yisrael? Their Tainas should be answered. In other words, United Nations come along and they say, you know, Jews get out of Israel, we waver them the safer Bereishis, and they keep quiet. It hasn't really worked, but the Maisa, at least for the Frumayin, at least for us, the Munna and the Betochen, and the roots of Klal Yisrael, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Lemudim we get from that is incredible. But the Maisa, the very beginning of the Torah begins within the mitzvahs of 630 mitzvahs begins in this week's parasha, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Now, again, we're dealing here with a Torah that is immense. The amkus, the depth of the Torah, the breadth of the Torah, the ideas of Torah. You have Tamid HaChachamim who have libraries with thousands got to the end, anywhere near the end of the Torah. The Torah is Kamayim, like with She'en Lehem Sof. Incredible. And the Torah begins with the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Gee whiz. Gewaldig! Wow! Unbelievable. You know, I would have suggested, if Hashem would have asked me, I would suggest you start off the Torah with a Haftar Eichel Kameichel. Okay? Or Kiddush Hashem. Something juicy, even Shabbos. But the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, big deal. What's the idea? Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu begin the Torah with a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem? What's the idea behind this? Number one. Secondly, it's not as if Klal Yisrael never had a calendar before this Rosh Chodesh business. Avram Avinu kept Pesach. He kept Pesach. How did he keep Pesach? Because he knew on the 15th of Nisan he's supposed to keep Pesach. So how did he keep Pesach without a calendar? Elamai, what do you have to say? He used a solar calendar. He used a solar calendar. So everything's going very, very well. Avram Avinu has been using a solar calendar. Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, they all know what's going on. And suddenly Kodesh Baruch Hu throws a span in the work and says, nope, use the lunar calendar. Now I just got to know, the lunar calendar is much less accurate and requires a lot more fine-tuning than a solar calendar. The solar calendar, every few years, got to add another extra day in February. That's it. The lunar calendar, there's 2 days Rosh Chodesh, there's 1 day Rosh Chodesh. There's 1 day Rosh Chodesh, there's 2 days Rosh Chodesh. There's an extra month for the end of Adar 1 year, 3 is 8, another one. All this fine-tuning backwards and forwards are all based on using a lunar calendar. Why use a lunar calendar? Use a solar calendar. You know, the Goyim use it, do fine. They do fantastic. By the way, the Muslims use a lunar calendar. And that's why they have sometimes the Ramadan and different festivals they have sometimes in the summer, sometimes in the winter. And I personally prefer if they had their Ramadan and they fasted in the middle of the summer. But Lamaisa, they have their summer and they have the winter and it changes around. Klal Yisrael, not only do they have a lunar calendar, but they've got to connect the lunar calendar to a solar calendar. It's got to be in the spring. So what's after Alatsaurus? What do you need all this for? Why don't we just have a solar calendar, that's it? Okay? So first of all, the question was, why begin with Rosh Chodesh? Secondly, why have a Rosh Chodesh based on the moon? Thirdly, if you're already basing on the moon, why not have it when the moon is the strongest? There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Mamash Minyanu D'Yoma, the Mishnah talks about, when is Rosh Chodesh Leilonos? When do you have Rosh Chodesh for trees? It says, Machlekes Beisham Beisil. Beisham says, it is on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, And Beis Hillel says it is on Tu B'Shvat, Tesvav Shvat. Why Tesvav Shvat? Because we find during a month that the strongest part of the month, the Shefa, the abundance of that month comes out and climaxes towards the middle of the month. And therefore that is why during Nisan we have Pesach on the Tesvav, on Sukkot we have Sukkot on Tesvav. Shavuos is not bound to a date, it's bound to counting a time, therefore it's not relevant to the month. It's not relevant to a date. But whenever you have a date, you base it on the middle of the month. And therefore, if you already are basing your calendar on Rosh Chodesh, in other words, basing on the moon, have it on the most beautiful time of the moon, the time when the moon is the strongest, the time in the 15th of the month. You know, we're living in a city here, we call Beis Shemesh a city. But we're living in the city here. You go out in a desert, or you go out to the forest outside, and the 15th of the month is incredible, the strength of the moon. It makes unbelievable. It's almost like walking in the middle of the day, almost. Right? It's a very, very strong light. And therefore, why do we have Rosh Chodesh basing itself on an inaccurate, very difficult, very, 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 you know, it's very difficult to define this Rosh Chodesh based on a moon that you can hardly see, rather base it on the middle of the month when everything is going fantastic, you've got a big round moon, it's shining, it's giving over all its light, why not do it then? Furthermore, the parasha says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hu Lochem Lochodesh Hashan. This is Rosh Chodesh to you, Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hu Lochem. It is a first to you. Ask all the Rishonim, what is this Lochem? What's this Lochem all about? So the Chasam Sefer says, by the way, that there's a Lav. Here is it actually a Lav Shintikla, say probably. But it's wrong for a person to write, for example, today's date is the 19th of January. It's wrong to write the 19th of the 1st, 2010. Because what we're doing is 19th of the 1st, we made it the 1st. The Goyim. In other words, basing it on the solar year, it's the 1st. He says, no, Rishon Hu Lachem is a mitzvah to count it the first according to Nisan. And therefore, if you want to say first, don't do first. Do better to do the 19th of Jan, 2010, than 9th of the 1st, because it could be even Issa Deraisa of not counting it correctly. So says the Chasam Sofer. Okay? But Lemaisa Rishon Hu Lachem, it's Rishon Hu Lachem, it is yours. What is yours? Lachem, what's all that all about? Why Lachem? Number one. Number two, the parasha begins, V'yom Hashem Moshev El Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim Lemor. Wow. Wow, of course it's Eretz Mitzrayim. What else was it? We're talking about Klal Yisrael stuck in Mitzrayim, stuck in the exile there, with all the Tzoros. Now they've got the Eser Makos, and they're left out with Shvatim Gedolim, with unbelievable Nisim, and about to leave Mitzrayim. Of course they're in Eretz Mitzrayim. What's Eretz Mitzrayim Lemor? So all these kashas, why Rosh Chodesh as being the first mitzvah? What's the idea of having it candlelit on the moon? What's the idea behind that? If it already is a moon, have the moon in the middle of the month, not the first of the month. What's this Lochem? What's this Mitzrayim? What's going on here? So I saw a very, very nice piece. I say with Shem Omroy, I saw Shem the Slonimo. He says like this. He says, Klal Yisrael right now have been through a terrible time. They've been through 210 years of slavery. Been through 210 years of persecution. 210 years of Paro literally took children off the street, slaughtered them, took their blood and bathed in their blood on a daily basis. Daily basis. Wasn't enough bricks, he took the child and bricked him into the wall. That is what they lived through. It wasn't just unpleasantries and they weren't treated, you know, with all the rights the regular unions have today. It was a Holocaust. For 210 years. Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and changes everything. Hashem is in control. And now Klal Yisrael are flying. They got all the nisim. They're making all the money. Unbelievable. Things are going fantastic. They're wealthy people today. And they're about to leave Mitzrayim. And they think that's it. All our sorrows are over. Klal Yisrael are now going to go out. They're going to have an easy time. They're going to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's going to go very, very well. Everything's going to go very, very rosily and easily and smoothly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want to tell you something, Klal Yisrael. You should just know that what's going on right now in your lives is actually not what's going to be forever. It's actually a very small bleep on the map. Klal Yisrael usually are going to have Taurus. Klal Yisrael usually are going to be in Golus. Klal Yisrael have had the base of Migdosh, they've had their good times, but the bulk of the history of Jewish people has not been when the sun is shining. It has not been when everything is nice and bright and warm. It's been in the darkest of nights. It's been in the darkest when there's only a very, very small glimmer of light. Way, way up there, you can hardly see it. That is where the Jew has survived. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just want to tell you that Rosh Chodesh, the most important part of the month, is realizing that however dark things are and however difficult they are, it makes no difference. The Jew will always recognize that time as being a time to celebrate. He will stand outside there when this moon is still very, very small and dance and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tov Ma'ariv, fantastic what you made in the world, and he'll keep that relationship going. Money, prosperity, wealth, success has never ever been good for the Jew. One imagines Rashi and the Rishonim. Rashi sitting there in his beautiful book-lined library, yeah, with his oak table and his leather executive chair, and he's writing out his Purushim. Rashi was running on the roads, had crusades chasing him. The Rabbeinu Tam was a knight. Rabbeinu Tam had a castle, and basically a knight came onto the kilometer to run away. And he had to bribe the knight with two big stallions, two big horses, and he hid for many months. All these people lived, and look what they produced. Klal Yisrael produce the best when they're pressured. Unfortunately, when they have an easy time and things are going well, they disappear. That's Peshat that in this week's parasha, they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, please beg of them to go and borrow items from the Mitzrayim. Why have to go and beg? Why have to ask them, please? No, please go there and collect a check for $1 million. You have to please. The Torah says Klal Yisrael knew that there's risks involved in having money. And therefore he said, Don't listen to me. Please go and take the money, but take it as if you feel as if you borrowed it. You know, if you're driving a hired car, it's not the same as if you're driving a fancy car. There's something missing there. And therefore he's saying, please go and borrow it. Klal Yisrael are being told with this mitzvah, you should just know, things are going to be very, very tough. Things are going to be very hard for you. But a Klal Yisrael can never, ever be broken. Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Yisai, 60 years ago, what did we have left? What do we have left of Klal Yisrael 60 years ago? We had beautiful communities, Belz, Bobov, Slonim, Slabodka, Mir, Ponevich. They were decimated. They were crushed. They were crushed. There was nothing left. Nothing. Nothing. Vyshnitz. All these beautiful places you go through today, you go through Poland and Hungary, all these names, there's nothing left. It took them and crushed them. And in 60 years, we have Klal Yisrael bursting at the seams, yeshivas and Moses HaTorah. Bursting at the seams, growing that never been grown for hundreds and hundreds of years. Why? Because the more you push down the Jew, the more he springs back up even higher. That is a koach of a Jew. In the middle of the dark, dark night, the darkest time of the month, there's a sliver of hope. The Jew will grab onto that sliver of hope and will not be broken. He'll grow and he'll grow and he'll grow. And he'll grow to such an extent that he'll grow brighter and brighter. And unfortunately, when things get very, very bright, that's when he starts shrinking again. Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat. He got fat and he began to kick back at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a message from Klal Yisrael. It's not just merely a mitzvah. It is a lesson to realize and appreciate that Klal Yisrael have a tremendous connection with the Bein Shalom, and nothing can break up that connection. In the darkest of nights, Jews have a connection with the Bein Shalom. In the Holocaust, you have Jews living through terrible, atrocious times, and the Derech Eretz, the Midas they had for one another. There was one time where there was one person who was called into Obermeister. His name was called, and he knew that that was it. He knew that he's going to be called in, he's going to be killed, and therefore he looked around him in the bunk, and you know, he had shoes. He looked at the next person's shoes and said, my shoes are better than yours, change your shoes with mine. And he had a shirt. His shirt was a little bit better quality than his friend's, so you change my shirt with your shirt. And everything. He had a ration of bread. He was starving hunger, a ration of bread. And he saw his friend and he said, listen, I'm going to be shot in a few hours' time. It's a chaval for me to have that extra few hours of pleasure. At the end of the day, I'm going to be shot. Take this bread and eat it. And it took everything from him, and a few hours later, he went to the Obermeister and he came back. And everyone started giving him back those things that he gave them. The shoes they gave back, the piece of bread they gave back. And that's a Jew. In the darkest of the dark, there's a little light burning, and the Jew will grab onto that light. But there's more than that. This is not only a Jew doing that to Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom has exactly the same thing back to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were there at the lowest ebb of their Emunah and Betochen. They were Memtes Sharabina, the 49th level of Tumah. If they would have been there a second later in Mitzrayim, they would have been lost forever. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, you know what? I love you, and I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim. Vayoyim Hashem Moshe Val Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim Leimor. In Eretz Mitzrayim, low, deep. Rachman Litzan, Tomei, and deep in the Tumah, Kodesh Baruch Hu made this mitzvah of the glimmer of hope that will help Klal Yisrael forever and ever. That is the first mitzvah in the Torah, telling us that however bad things go, we'll always have a connection. Some Marav once said, after the Holocaust, when all the there were so many Tamil Chachamim were killed and butchered and murdered, somebody asked him, who do I go to for a bracha? He said, anybody who lays tefillin over his tattoo, go to him for a bracha. If a person can put tefillin on a number, go to him for a bracha. A Jew can do that, a goy can't. When does a goy serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu? In the sun. When the sun is shining. The sun shines, it goes down, that's it. That's it. End of the day, there's no more sun. Klal Yisrael serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's moon by day and by night. Irrelevant whether they can see it or not, whether we can see the Hashem of Kodesh Baruch Hu or not, we serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu with an Ahavah and a Devekus, irrelevant how Kodesh Baruch Hu treats us. We always have this connection. And also, irrelevant how we treat a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a connection to us. Even in Eretz Mitzrayim, where we had nothing, a Kodesh Baruch Hu still loved us. Now, basically, there's a fascinating, I want to add on to this. There's a fascinating idea over here. And that is like this. The Mechilta says like this. The Mechilta says, the Yalkut. Shalu ha-malachim ha-kodesh baruch hu. The malachim asked ha-kodesh baruch hu, Masai Rosh Hashanah. When is Rosh Hashanah? So omalehem, so ha-kodesh baruch hu said back to them, to the malachim, Li atem shoylim, you're asking me. You ask me when Rosh Hashanah is. Shalu es Yisrael, ask Klal Yisrael. Masai yehei mekadshim aleihem es ha-chodesh. Eilu heim moyadoi. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asked by the Malachim, when is Rosh Hashanah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws up his hands and says, I have no idea. I don't know. How do I know when Rosh Hashanah is? I've got no idea. You know when Rosh Hashanah is? When the Klal Yisrael are kaveh Rosh Hashanah. When they make this Rosh Chodesh Tishri, that is Rosh Hashanah. In other words, let's get this absolutely clear. Klal Yisrael were incredibly clear when the Rosh Chodesh is. Today, we have no Edim. We have no Edim. We have no people coming along, running along, being Mechal Shabbos, right across Eretz Yisrael, coming along and telling us when Rosh Chodesh is, and going along and testing them, and showing them charts, and asking them this side of the sky, that side of the sky, and still we have Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because we know the calculations. That today, they made a calculation, NASA made a calculation with huge computers and with laser beams and with all different modcons and gadgets, and they came out, listen to this, incredible, they came out that a lunar month is 29.53059 days. 29.53059 days. Okay? The Gemara says in Shabbos of Chofei, the Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel was sitting in a Beis Din and somebody wanted to be Mekalish L'Chodesh when it was 29 days. Said Rabbi Gamliel, I have a Kabbalah. Kach Mekablani Beis Abo. There's no Chodesh less than 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 Chalokim. Now every hour has 1,008 Chalokim. 793 Chalokim comes out to the calculation of 29.53088. In other words, we're off by a smallest 0.0000 amount, percentage.
They're off.
You mean they're off?
Yeah. We're off according to them, but we know they're off according to us. That is how small the percentage is.
How much is the 793 for?
Is 29.53088. That's how many days it is. 793 chalokim out of 1008 chalokim of an hour.
So it's
29.53088. Okay? That is the amount of time it takes from one month to the other. Incredible. So we knew. We knew exactly when the month is. Why go along and wait for the Edom to come, and then we test them, and therefore there's, you know, there are times in history where people deliberately messed up the month. We put up a fire, and that fire go to another har, the whole Eretz Yisrael would know. But what would happen? The Sadducees grabbed onto that idea, and they wanted to botch up the whole calendar. So the day beforehand, they started putting these fires across. Okay? So what do? We couldn't make fives anymore. So we had to go along and send shluchim. And send messengers to go along to the far places in Eretz Yisrael to tell them what time Rosh Chodesh is. The problem with that is, it takes them a while to get there. And what about Chutz Aretz? Okay? So Chutz Aretz is going to keep now 2 days Yom Tov. Because they don't know. Because it's too far. All because of what? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want you to be Kaveh Rosh Chodesh. But we know, be Kaveh without that. Just work it out, make a calendar like we have today. No. What's the idea? I want you, Sanhedrin, to sit down and tell me what to do, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the idea behind that? The idea behind that is, Klal Yisrael do not live in a reality. Klal Yisrael create a reality. Jews do not live within a framework. They break every barrier. They break every boundary and create new boundaries. They create mitzvahs. They create a reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't come along and ask me when Rosh Hashanah is. Don't come along and ask me when I'm sitting in Mishpat. Klal Yisrael, tell me what to do. Klal Yisrael, tell me when to sit and make din. Klal Yisrael, tell the Malachim to go along and bring all the Schusim and Averis. They tell Klal Yisrael, tell Rabbeinu Shlomo what to do. That is a koyach of a Jew. A Jew is not bound by reality. He creates a spiritual reality and a physical reality. It's incredible. The Jewish mind and what Jews have done to this world. You know, how big is Israel compared to the world? How big is it? It's a speck on the map. It's not a world power. It's got hardly any money. It's got hardly any resources. It's nothing. What is it? It's a speck on the map. Not a day goes past in the world that Israel doesn't hit some major scandal or some major thing in the front pages of the New York Times or even in Germany, whatever it is around the world. Who are we already? That is a koyach of a Jew. Whatever the Jew is and whatever the Jew represents, that creates a reality in the world. That's who we are. And therefore, Rabbeinu Shlomo said, I don't want to make a calculation based on ongoing diary. I want you to tell me month by month what you want me to do. I want you to be Kriveya the Mitzias. I want you to create a reality. So the second lesson of Rosh Chodesh is not Pshat, that it's just merely identifying a time. We are creating the time. We are making a new reality. A Jew creates a reality. He's not bound by anything but his own limitations. Now the question is, I don't want to go too much into this, but the reality that a Jew creates, what a Talmud Chochem represents. If a person goes to Talmud Chochem, Tzadik Geizah v'Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim, a Tzadik makes the Gezeirah, HaKodesh Baruch Hu fulfills it. Did I tell you the story with the Chazon Ish with the taxi driver? There was a taxi driver who was taking a group of a couple of Rabbonim around from place to place, a secular taxi driver, and he hears Rabbanim talking at the back. Yeah, listen, since the Chazon Ish passed away, things aren't the same. So he looks up, and he, in a mirror, in a typical taxi driver pose, Rega, boina, 1 second. Atanomit baishim. You're not embarrassed the way you're speaking. Atanomit so baishim. What do you mean? What do we say? Atanomit baishim. What's the matter? Why should we be embarrassed? To speak like that, minim ha'ele, to speak such words. What do you say? All we said was a Chazon Ish was nifta. Boina. If you said it once, we're going out of my cab. So what are you talking about? 2 years ago, the Chazon Ish died. What's the problem? Od pam. Again, he's speaking like that. I'll tell you a story. He said 5 years ago, my daughter was giving birth to a second child and she had complications during the pregnancy. And things got so bad that it was critical. It was critical. She was giving birth and the doctor said there's no hope. So I was standing outside there smoking cigarettes. A friend said to me, what are you doing here? Go to the Chazon Ish. It's not far. It's a 20-minute drive. Go to him, ask him for a bracha. He said, nah, come on a bracha. Go to him for a bracha. He goes, drives his car to the Chazon Ish, knocks the door to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish brings him in and he said, what's the matter? He said, don't worry. Let's say some tehillim together. What's her name? Mazel tov. Everything will be okay. And he said, I felt calm suddenly. Chazon Ish said it. I felt calm. There's no such thing as a secular Sephardi. They may not be practicing, but they're 1 second away from becoming frum. So he goes back and he sees his daughter and Baruch Hashem is a beaming mother and a beaming baby and a beaming grandmother and a whole chamalia that everyone's there and everyone's dancing and happy and singing. Baruch Hashem, a baby's born. 3 years later, the same thing happened. Same thing happened. He's in the hospital, brought his daughter in to have birth, and Nebuch, there was a hemorrhage, and his daughter was losing blood, and she was unbelievable. Nebuch, he knew exactly what to do this time. He took his car, drove straight to the Chazon Ish, knocks on his door, and the child says, "Who are you knocking on?" He says, "I'm going to the Chazon Ish. They've never heard. Chazon Ish passed away a few weeks ago." He says, "Oy vey, so what am I going to do?" He says, "Go to his kaver. His kaver is in Bnei Brak. Go to his kaver. Go to his grave. Daven at his grave." Goes to his grave. He davens by the grave, and he's crying. Suddenly, he felt better, and he went back, and Baruch Hashem, he had a baby. Daughter was healthy. Everything was fine. He said, "You can say the Chazon Ish was nifter. You can speak like that. Atem lo mitbayishim. Yeah, you're not embarrassed. From person the Chazon Ish is nifter. I feel it tzaddik. Even misnosen karul nehem chayim. Even when the dead are called alive." That is a tzaddik gozer kodesh baruch hu mekayim. How many thousands of stories where a tzaddik has given a bracha and things poshut flipped around? How kodesh baruch hu listens to tamid chachamim. They create a reality. Incredible. But that is a koyach of klal Yisrael. They don't live within one, they create their own. I want to move on for one more level. How did klal Yisrael do it? How did klal Yisrael create a new reality? The Chazal say, Ein chodosh tachas ha-shemesh. There's no such thing as new underneath the Shemesh. There's no such thing as a new reality underneath the sun. Lemala min ha-shemesh yesh. Above the Shemesh there is. How did they do that? Ha-chidesh hazeh lochem. Mepharshim explain, ha-chidesh comes from the word chodosh. Chodosh. What's chodosh? Chodosh means hischadshus. Creating anew. Why is Rosh Chodesh on the beginning of the month? Why is Rosh Chodesh based on the only sign we have in nature that on a daily basis changes from time to time? The sun is the same. Every single day the sun is the same. Okay? The moon changes every single day. The way we see the moon changes daily. A little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit less, a little bit less. Why? Why do we do this? The answer is to show that there's nothing further from the Jew's life than the sun. The sun may be constant, the Jew is never constant. The Jew has to know that whenever things get tough, he has to pick himself up and stand up again, be into his chadshus. We dafka kriveya, we dafka fix our whole life. The times when the Yom Tovim take place, the times when we make a child bar mitzvah, the times when we kill a child because he's ready a godel, irrelevant. They're all based on his chadshus, on creating a new reality. Klal Yisrael create reality by his chadshus, through enthusiasm, through building themselves up, through revigorating themselves. That is a koyach of Klal Yisrael. Goyim don't have that. Goyim are constant. Paroi was told by his nation, "You're crazy, let Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Let them out. Can not see everything's lost?" Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paroi, "You know what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to be Makis Bechiris." What does Makis Bechiris mean? It means you're going to die, and your firstborn's going to die, and your house is going to fall to pieces, and the whole Mitzrayim is going to go crazy. What does Paroi do? Says Apostle, Vayokom Paroi, Paroi got up. Says Rashi, Mitosoi, from his bed. Says Akotska. What's the chiddush of Rashi? Says Akotska. Just imagine you get a nevuah that by tomorrow morning your house is going to fall apart. They won't stay in your house. I don't know what you're like, but I can't sleep the night before. I know I have an early morning flight to catch. I can't fall asleep. No, just in case alarm doesn't work, and just in case the last thing I need is I'm supposed to be in a plane by 9:30, and I wake up at 8:15. You know, it's a nightmare. If you don't sleep, you toss and you turn, you think you're sleeping, you wake up every 10 minutes, look at your watch. Oh yeah, another 20 minutes. And Paroi, Rabbi, so listen to this. Paroi knew Moshe Rabbeinu says is MS. You know what? He's seen it. And Paroi goes to bed in his pajamas and falls asleep. That's a goy. Can't change. If I am a non-believer, I'm a non-believer. There's no atheist in a foxhole that applies to Jews, not to goyim. Paroi can fall asleep the night of Makkos Bechiris in his bed and calmly fall asleep. Irrelevant. I'm not changing. Klal Yisrael are so different. Klal Yisrael, the smallest hint, the smallest hisirus awakening can change a person's life. There's a beautiful piece I saw from Motel Kamenetsky. He says, very, very nice. He says, Nisik's parasha talks about the mitzvah of tefillin. And we end with this. Mitzvah of tefillin. Yeah? And it says tefillin, what's tefillin called? Toitofos. Well, what does toitofos mean? What does toitofos mean?
addition?
What? We're two and two. Barash shnayim u'shnayim. What's toitafois? Where does it come from? Totafot means it's in Arab, in African, and all different kinds of languages. It means two of two in African languages. Now this is this is the ois. Yeah, tefillin is the ois. It's the sign of the Jew. Right? Imagine having the Declaration of Independence in America. Yeah, and you're looking for it in the library. I'm not sure in the Congress Library. Where is it?
Library of Congress.
Library of Congress. One of these big places. And you have there, you know, Declaration. The independence, but in the pencil, or whatever, in Russian, right? And then underneath it says, Declaration of Independence translated from Russian. You know, you're having the Declaration of Independence written in a foreign language? Teutophois, the sign of who the Jew is, written in a foreign language? What kind of thing is this? He said, very nice. He said, there's a fellow in America, as far as I know, he is now the chairman of the OU. His name is Stephen Savitsky. He's the CEO of Staff Builders. It's America's leading home health care providers. And he was once on a plane, and he got upgraded, and he was flying from Baton Rouge towards Wichita, Kansas, okay? And he's bumped up to first class. Sitting next to him was a real typical first class traveler. You know, his big gold ring on his pinky, and you know, his blue shirt had folds in from his belly, you know, really a really big, very, very wealthy looking man. And he wasn't taking his nose out of the newspaper, and he's sitting there with his arms wide open reading the newspaper. And this is going on during the flight, took absolutely no notice of him. The meals come, he gets his kosher meal, this man gets his nice half of a pig in milk, whatever it is. And he's eating this meal and he's good, the champagne and everything. Anyway, this Stephen finishes off his meal, takes that little bench out of his pocket, the sitter, and starts making berachos on mazon. All of a sudden, this man puts his paper down and he says to him, "What is that? Is that a sidur?" He said, Yeah, it's a sidur. He said, "Wow, I haven't seen one of those things for years. Do you mind if I borrow it?" "Yeah, sure, you can borrow it." He stands up, and with full voice, he starts off, he goes through the whole Maariv. Nobody says anything to a guy in first class, right? And he goes through, in the top of his lungs, the whole Maariv, word for word, for word, for word, with tears pouring down his cheeks. "This is the first time, for years, I've come into any connection with a religious Jew. How wonderful, how wonderful." 35,000 feet up in the air. That is a Jew can get a Hisiris and come all the way back to his youth and davening Maariv like he hasn't davened for all these years by just seeing a Siddur. We could be in the darkest jungles of Africa and you see a pair of tefillin, you can bring a Jew back. Look how many Jews are coming back in Mumbai and places like that with a pair of tefillin, with a sign of being a Jewish, a kosher restaurant. Oh, they can't wait to kosher restaurant. Oh, Gewaldig, you know, the Jews again. A Jew is reawakened by the smallest recognition of Yiddishkeit. You can have an African name, middle African jungle, you know, you call it Totefos. Ah, it's Jewish? They're back on track again. That is a koyach of a Jew, his chadshus. And therefore, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, the first mitzvah of the Torah is not merely a mitzvah. The first mitzvah of the Torah is the mitzvah, because it teaches us three very, very important lessons. Number one, it teaches us the lesson that however bad things are, however dark the night is, the Jew will never give up on Hashem, and Hashem will never give up on the Jew. However bad the relationship gets, there's always a connection. They're always still called Yisrael. The connection always remains. That's the first lesson. The second lesson is the idea that Klal Yisrael run the world. It's true. What the Goyim say about Klal Yisrael, they run the world. It's true, we do run the world. Not only this world, but we run the physical and spiritual world. We create a reality. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do and has to sit on Rosh Hashanah and Din because we decided that he's going to sit in Din. Even if you make a mistake. Even if you do it b'mezid, says the Mishnah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I am going to be sitting today in Rosh Hashanah judging Klal Yisrael because you told me to." Jews have the reality to create new things. Tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu when to sit in judgment. That is a koyach of a Jew. And that can never ever be broken. And the third idea is that we dafka have the moon based on a natural phenomena that changes constantly. A Jew has to have this idea that never ever should he stay on one level. He should always be aiming to grow, and if he falls, he has to renew himself and start off again and start off afresh. That is a koyach of a Jew. I have a remez for this. Of course, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a Rosh Chodesh for Chodoshim. The Pasuk says that. HaChodesh Zelechen, Rosh Chodesh for Chodoshim. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, there are four Rosh Hashanahs. There are four...
Rosh Hashanah.
Not four Rosh Hashanahs. There are... There are four Rosh Hashanahs. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah. L'Ragolim... Not Rosh Hashanahs. The Mishnah says... No, that's not what I'm looking at. Yeah, Abba Rosh Hashanim Heim. Okay, Abba Rosh Hashanim Heim. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Chodesh for Malachim or L'Ragolim. Is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim? Rosh Hashanah does not mean Day of Judgment. It means at the beginning of the year. Okay? Is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim and Ragolim? So there's really three things here. There's Chodoshim. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the first of the months. It's first for Malachim and first for Ragolim. Okay? Three ideas. What did we just say? The three ideas of Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Isai, what's special about Klal Yisrael is, it doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter how bad, it doesn't matter how bad the times are. It could be good times, it could be terrible times. Klal Yisrael retain their relationship. Klal Yisrael are always with Rabbi Shalom, however bad things are. Regalim. The first idea of Klal Yisrael is, however regal is a time, it's a period of time, however bad things are, however terrible the regalim are, every time the moments are, Klal Yisrael still have the Rosh Chodesh. We have the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The second idea is, we malachim. What do malachim do? Malachim dictate what's going to be in their country. They say what's going to happen. They are in control. Klal Yisrael is the second lesson. We're in control. We're malachim. And thirdly, is the idea that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Chodesh for Chodoshim. What's Chodoshim? Chodosh. His Chachus, for new. Klal Yisrael has this tremendous koyach of renewing himself, of becoming perfect, of starting off afresh, throwing everything off what the bad things have done and beginning again. That is a koyach unique to Klal Yisrael. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. This is something uniquely Jewish. That Jews can have a relationship however bad things are. That Jews can create a new reality and Jews can renew themselves when nobody else can. That is Lochem, Lochem, Lochem. That is only what we can do, and we have to learn, take this lesson, take the first mitzvah and run with it, and Be'ez Hashem will become as great as we were the time we left and received the Torah.
Amen.